How do you do? Mr. Carl Emley feels it would be a little unkind to present this picture without just a word of friendly warning. We are about to unfold the story of Frankenstein, a man of science who sought to create a man after his own image without reckoning upon God. It is one of the strangest tales ever told. It deals with the two great mysteries of creation, life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
This is my own show. Not a script or flip can make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to tick me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do, and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here is only just begun.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 9 of Horror for Dummies. As always, I am Tim, and with me is...
Not Tim.
Very good.
Hooray!
How's things, man?
Yeah, good, man. Good, good. Cruising along. Busy week so far. What about yourself?
Shit week.
Shit week?
Yep.
Why is it shit, Tim?
I had my birthday yesterday. It was fucking shit.
Oh, don't be like that.
It was.
Everyone should celebrate their 42nd birthday.
Yeah, fucking funny, aren't you?
See, look at that. 42 and he's still quick as. Sharp as a tack.
Yeah. No, it's been a... This is a Tuesday recording on, so it's my second day back to work after a 5-week holiday. So it's a bit of a drag.
Yeah,
trying to get
rough.
Back into it.
That's rough.
So, yeah, my first day back was on my birthday. That's why it was shit. And then I had to...
You should have planned your holidays better.
Oh, I know. I was stupid with that. And then I had to suffer with embarrassing child photos of me on Facebook all day. And then people...
St. Timothy.
Oh, fucking hell.
I actually feel like some of those should appear on the Horror for Dummies page.
No, they're not going anywhere.
Should.
No.
I think they should.
Yeah, well, I've got control on the page, so...
So do I.
Oh, fuck you do too.
St. Timothy. FIFA Tim.
No. I'll fucking kill you. I swear to God, I'll kill you.
And then what are you going to call the show? Horror 4?
No.
That's just it.
Dead? I'll bring you back to life like Frankenstein.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, nice little segue.
Then you can just be like, horror, good. All right, before we start this show, as always... is brought to you by the Padded Room Podcast. You can follow them, Cakewolf's Happy Hour, sorry, and us at paddedroom.podbean.com. So, we, as you know, are diving into a movie, your first black and white film that I'm showing you.
Correct.
Before we dive into that, I just forgot, and I just remembered, that we...
Oh, that was quick.
Lack of sleep, man. It's good times.
It'll do that.
We have...
Need sleep in your old age.
Fuck off. We have, as per usual, listener mail.
Hi-o.
Listener mail.
All right. Here we are with listener mail. So we've got a couple little messages. First off, I want to hit it with our good friend Gene Turner. He writes, I'm listening to your podcast on Happy Death Day. Ugh, sorry. I haven't seen it, but you're not alone. Another podcast I listened to absolutely hated it. They're called Horror Movie Podcast, and they talked about it on episode 132. I recommend them. They're a good podcast. By the way, thanks for the shout-out. You're welcome, Gene. So, Gene sent me this a couple of days ago, and I got a chance to listen to... You right?
I'm listening. I'm excited.
I got a chance to listen to that podcast today. I actually listen to Horror Movie Podcast regularly. It's a very good podcast. And thank fuck that finally someone agrees with me. Happy Death Day is a piece of shit, and that movie can go fuck itself. You heard my thoughts on it, and I'm not going to continue anymore. Apart from that, you can check Gene out on his own movie review on YouTube called Gene's Reviews. It's good times, and I think that you should do that.
Happy Death Day. What's that?
It's at the movies now. Now, I'm not saying this for you to go watch it. Basically, it's Groundhog's Day meets Scream, or any 90s slasher.
Yeah, right, okay.
Haven't seen trails for or anything?
No, actually, I haven't, to be honest.
You're lucky.
Yeah, apparently.
It was,
Being dumb is actually coming to advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
You!
I wish I was dumb.
Granted.
All right, this next one comes in from our best friend of the show, Alan.
Alan! It has to happen now. All right, you pointed out that I do it every time. If I don't do it now, it'll be weird, and Alan will be upset, and he'll stop writing to us.
That's it, Alan. From now on, you have to message us every single week. Otherwise, the show's not going to be the same, okay?
I know. You'll be very upset.
We're known for two things, dummies and Alan. Anyway, Alan writes, do either of you have any horror tattoos? I have Leatherface on my leg. And he sent us a photo of his Leatherface.
Gives a gazel.
You can see.
Yeah, nice, nice.
And the answer to that question is yes. Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I have Leatherface tattooed on my arm. It's not the best tattoo because the guy doing it was smoking weed at the time. As was I. But he shaded it in a bit too much, so it basically looks like a black blob. But besides that, on the inside of my arm, I've got Michael Myers, or the cover of Halloween 2. And on the back of my arm, my tricep, I've got Jason Voorhees from Jason Goes to Hell, because I like the look of him the best. On my leg, I've got a portrait of Pinhead. On my other arm, on the inside of my other arm, I've got a cartoon Jason, which is cute.
He is awesome.
On my wrist, I've got the Thorn from Halloween 6. Is that it? Then I just got random stupid tattoos because I was dumb and thought it'd be cool. I've got the Mushroom Head logo tattooed on my arm, and I've got a penis tattooed on my foot. Ben is basically the same, except with horror movies, he has band logos.
That's correct. Even then, I haven't got that many band logos.
What, two?
Yeah, two.
That's more than that's me. It.
Yeah, that's true. I got the Black Label Society skull on the base of my neck.
Nice.
And then I have the Metallica star on my leg in the same spot that you have your Pinhead portrait.
We kiss them sometimes.
That's true. I imagine Pinhead to be a fan of Metallica.
Well, he's a fan of Motorhead.
See?
There is the video clip of Hellraiser and Pinhead and Lemmy are drinking together.
As they would.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's probably what they're doing right now.
Exactly.
Rest in peace, Lemmy.
R.I.P.
On top of that, I'm planning to get more. I want to do a whole sleeve of horror icons. I really want to get Freddy tattooed on me. I really want to get the image of Quint getting eaten by Jaws, the shark, on my forearm.
Wicked.
I want to get David from The Lost Boys. I want to get the werewolf from American Werewolf in London. And I want to get Sam from Trick or Treat.
Yeah, fuck yeah, Sam from Trick or Treat would be wicked.
Yeah,
fuck it. You can have him holding the lollipop.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
For sure. But Tim, where are you going to get the Silver Shamrock logo?
Oh my god. That wouldn't be expensive either.
I'll fucking disown you.
I'm seriously thinking about getting it.
Fuck, what have I done?
I'm going to do it.
I know you
are. I'm going to fucking do it. I'll post it on the Facebook page just so you guys can see.
You're going to slap it continually while it's healing.
Well, fuck you. All right, our last email comes in from our good friend, Christopher Paley.
Hello, Paley.
His subject line is, less criticism, more love. Aw, it's better than last time. Listeners, I'm really, really sorry if you can hear a dog barking in the background. Fucking piece of shit neighbor dog. I can't really do anything about it because I don't actually know where it's coming from. It's
your neighbors. It's probably next door.
Yeah, but I don't know which neighbors though.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah. So and we can't really look over the fences because there's barbed wire and it hurts. And there's roses with thorns.
Barbed wire. Fuck, that's ruthless.
Anyway, Christopher Paley writes, "Hiya, fellas." He's Pennywise.
Apparently.
Thanks for playing the request. I probably should have put something nice in there as well, so here we go.
Ooh.
Ooh. I love the show. I'm a casual horror watcher, but you make me want to watch more, so good job, boys. That's fucking the main reason why I started this shit, is to make people watch more horror movies. Well, so it looks like we're doing a good job.
Yeah, we are. Thanks, Pales.
And that's not just because you're my mates. It's legit good. Thanks, dude. Anyways, Tim, what's your favourite horror comedy and why is it Club Dread? XOXO Paley. P.S. Feed My Frankenstein would be the obvious music choice for next show. Winky face. Well, you fucked up my plans, Paley. And because of your message last week, I spent the whole night deciding... And I'm the biggest fucking retard. I actually searched up YouTube and I typed in songs about Frankenstein, not even remembering about Feed My Frankenstein. I completely forgot about it.
How?
I don't know.
What?
I know. Stupid mind.
Disgraceful.
Stupid. But no, we had plans on playing Feed My Frankenstein, so you're welcome.
Yeah. We're going to do it anyway, not just because you said so, but I'm glad you said so.
But horror comedies, and yes, I do love Club Dread. And the funny thing is, have you seen Club Dread?
I've seen it, but I don't remember it.
You know, okay, so it's from the guys from Broken Lizard, and I fucking love me some Broken Lizard. They're like Super Trooper guys and Beer Fest.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that movie is I... like myself, some Bill Paxton. Rest in peace. But it took me so fucking long to realize that Coconut Pete was Bill Paxton. I just couldn't put two and two
really?
Together. Yeah, I'm horrible with faces. Yeah.
Whoa.
But no, I do love me some Club Dread. It's not my favorite horror comedy, though. Ooh, and that's a big, big thinker. And at the top of my head, Shaun of the Dead comes into mind. Zombieland, I like that. The one biggest one that made me legit have me in tears of laughter is Dale and Tucker versus Evil. Have you seen that one?
I haven't actually.
I've heard
that's supposed to be awesome.
There's one scene that involves a chainsaw. Now, if you people have seen it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. That had me rolling around in tears. It was fucking hilarious. Maybe one day we will watch that for the show.
All right. That'd be good.
Another one is Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Not for everyone, but to me, I fucking had a blast with it and thought it was great. There is probably some I'm missing, but those are the ones that I can think of at the top of my head.
They'd have to be good to outdo Shaun of the Dead.
What is your, if you could pick one, have you seen...
I probably wouldn't have as many to pick from as you, but Shaun of the Dead, man, that movie's an absolute classic.
And it never gets old. Like,
it doesn't, eh? You can watch it that many times and it's still hilarious.
Actually, it's in my top 31.
Well, there you go. Of all time,
so there's that.
Problem solved.
Yeah. All right, so that's the end of Listener Mail. Thank you very much for all who commented. And if you would like to comment, if you would like to appear on the show through my voice...
by proxy.
You can at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com or, as Alan and Gene do, you can hit me up on the Facebook page, which is just Horror for Dummies. Just search up in Facebook. You'll see our little picture there with the smiley face and the Freddy Krueger, the half-ass Freddy Krueger claw that I magically superimposed over it.
the miracles of paint.
That's exactly what I used to. I don't computer well.
I'm going to email you a list of things I want to say for next show, because that way you can read them out and I can hear what I would sound like as you. That'll can get confusing, though. People won't know who's speaking. Is it me or is it you? Because it'll just be you.
Can you please do it now?
I'm going to.
All right. So on that note, shall we kick into some Frankenstein?
I reckon so.
And now for our feature presentation.
And we're back. Here to talk some Frankenstein from 1931. Now, before I go into the usual bullshit of the cast and crew, I've got one question to ask you, Ben, and one question only.
Yes.
How much did you laugh when Frankenstein threw the girl in the water?
Holy shit. I, like, reenacted it by falling off my own lounge.
Did you do
so fucking good. Just the way he does it so carefree as well. He's like, whoa!
I've been waiting all day to ask you that question.
It was so fucking good.
All right. We'll get into that later.
We didn't float too.
And that comes one of my, not dislikes, but nitpicks with that scene, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But before we educate Benjamin, how did you find it? Tell me what your thoughts were.
Alrighty. I actually didn't mind watching this movie.
Yeah.
I was expecting, with it being such an old movie and such, to bore me and to wear thin.
Mm.
But I actually found, because it was such an old movie, and obviously filming and stuff back then was a much bigger process and a bigger deal.
Yeah.
They compacted the story, so it moved along very quickly.
Yeah, which, the pacing is really good.
Yeah, which I like, you know. Yeah. They don't skip over detail, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
but they don't linger on things either. It sort of keeps rolling from one point to the next and just happens.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and it's such a short runtime. It's only an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. 67 minutes. And I watched the timer as it was finishing. It's like 67 minutes on the dot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then you bringing up that point, how the pacing is just flows and just goes by. I watched the 1994 Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the remake, if you will, which is more of a better adaptation of the book. It stars Robert De Niro as the monster. But that goes for 2 hours, a bit more than 2 hours.
They wouldn't even have to put makeup on him.
Oh, shit!
Snap!
But see, that I feel like that would bore you more, because there's a lot, you dive in deeper with the story.
So it's not really, well, maybe adding more detail to the story, it's not really necessary stuff, it's just more padded out.
On top of that, they actually combine a lot of elements from Bride of Frankenstein into the movie as well. So in a way, it is the two movies put together.
Okay.
So, but there is a lot of stuff in it that, I was kind of looking at my watch going, okay, hurry it up, let's go.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, it starts in the low point where you're like, all right, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. But enough about 1994's Frankenstein. So, okay, you dug it.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah, I enjoyed watching that. As I said, good pace coming along.
Yeah.
I thought some of the effects, given the time it was made, some of the effects in it were actually really cool.
Yeah.
I actually really liked that.
Mm.
And, yeah, yeah. I found the acting very, very intense.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
like,
yeah.
Everyone was, like, so solemn, but, like, focused on what they had to say. They just delivered their line straight up.
Yeah, it's overacting to the
really
fucking max,
is,
eh?
Eh?
But that
it
was,
really is. But it's kind of cool. It, like, adds to the feel of it.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I mean, being such an old movie, that's, like, that's what they all did.
Yeah,
those movies.
Well, yeah, I've watched a few movies from that time, and they're all the same. Like, they really exaggerate their lines and stuff.
They really
and
do.
Some movies a lot more than this.
Yeah,
trust me, it gets ridiculous at points, and I feel like they're the comedies of that era.
Yeah, that's right.
But I found the acting, like, yes, it was over the top, but I think, like, the product of the time, but the acting for this movie is incredible.
Yeah, I actually found it to be really good.
Yeah.
Specifically, you say, like, it was over the top, but for a couple of characters in particular, that actually worked really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for Frankenstein, not the monster, but
Frankenstein.
Like, yes. I found that worked really, really well because it goes to show, like, how detached from everything else he is. He's just, like, so focused on what he's doing.
Yep.
That's, like, all he talks about. And he's straight to the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that builds on his character really well. And the same for the Baron. It just goes to show that he's just, like, 100% sure that he's right about everything. He's not really taking into regard what anyone else is saying.
Yeah, that's
it. He's just blowing him off and he's just like, nope, nope, nope. It's what I said. All right.
All right.
It was hilarious, by the way.
Now, before we get into more of our likes, I just got to do the whole bullshit about the cast and the crew. I know it's boring, but it has to be said. Actually, this one's pretty interesting.
I wonder how many people made up the monster.
That's actually a good question. You mean like body parts?
Yeah.
That's a very good question.
Has it got like six names for him? Because I noticed they even sort of like accentuate on that whole monster thing in the credits that when they had the list of the names of actors and stuff, it says the monster, question mark.
Yeah, how good is that?
I know, I saw that and I was like, ah, brilliant.
You know, I never even thought of that. Like how many body... Like,
yeah.
Is there like a black arm and a Asian pinky...
Stop. An Asian pinky.
Damn it, we're getting racist again. All right, now the cast. Now, I'm not going to go in and tell you a lot about the cast because they're all dead. Everyone's dead, okay? Just deal with it, all right? All right? If you have to cry, just cry. All right?
That's pretty ruthless. It's pretty ruthless.
Well,
but we've seen, obviously, they can be brought back. So that's not a problem.
All right, so we have Colin Clive, who plays Henry Frankenstein, the doctor. This is the only one I'm going to tell you who actually died, because he died 6 years after this film was done, at the age of 37.
Oh, that's brutal.
Because he was an alcoholic. And that's what happens if you drink alcohol, as I say, taking a sip of my Jack and Coke.
Yeah. No wonder the Baron wouldn't let him give him that like glass of wine at the end of it when he's laying in bed. Well, you've had enough.
Well, yeah. He was actually a raging alcoholic. So.
Oh, brutality.
Yeah. He was actually in the sequel to this movie, The Bride of Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. He reprised his role. We have Mae Clark, who stars as Elizabeth. Dwight Fry, who was Fritz. Now... He's starred in a lot of shit.
Oh, really?
Horror-wise. A lot of these actors have starred in a lot of stuff, but I'm talking horror movies.
Yep.
Dwight Fry was in Dracula. He was in The Invisible Man. He was in Bride of Frankenstein, Son of Frankenstein, Ghost of Frankenstein, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, plus a whole range
Holy
of...
Holy shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of Frankenstein movies.
Yeah, right.
It was in a shitload of Universal horror movies. Now, speaking of the character of Fritz,
yeah.
Fritz is basically Igor.
Yeah.
Now, and I've actually searched the internet for the answer to this, and I really couldn't find a legitimate answer. Where do we get the idea of Igor, whatever you want to call him?
Yeah.
With the hunchback and the retarded look on his face and the yes master and shit like that.
I don't know. See, like, it's one of them things, because I haven't seen the movies or anything to know otherwise.
Yeah.
I've just sort of been told that.
Mm.
So, like, in my head, it's already, like, a stereotype, I guess. Or,
yeah.
Like, a, you know, how I imagine it.
And that's what it is with a lot. And I was listening to another podcast, so I won't mention the name. But, and they were asking the same question, and they couldn't actually give, and they've watched a lot more of these Universal classics than I have. And they said that the... It was basically the same. Like, there wasn't really an Igor with the Yes Master.
There's no actual basis for it. It just sort of started somewhere.
Yeah.
And
well, it had to have started somewhere, but no one actually knows.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, Ben, but if you know the answer, please email us and I'll read it on the next line. And Ben can slap me if I'm wrong.
Fuck yes. Someone just come up with some bullshit and send it to us.
Oh, fucking don't. Cause no, cause I'm going to research it to make sure it's true.
Quick, put it on Wiki.
Then we have the man himself, Boris Karloff, who plays the monster.
So it was Boris.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Boris.
Boris.
Who plays the monster. And it's okay to call him Frankenstein, okay? I'm not going to be one of those people who... Oh, Frankenstein's the
monster.
Just shut up, okay? I know who you're talking about. Boris Karloff is one of the most iconic horror actors of all time.
Yeah?
Yeah. His credits are The Old Dark House, The Mummy. He played The Mummy.
Oh, cool.
The Mask of Fu Manchu, The Black Cat, The Raven, Bride of Frankenstein, Son of Frankenstein, etc. So he was known for his horror gigs.
Yeah, nice.
And to me, he is Frankenstein. Like, there's been a lot of Frankensteins over the years. But, and it's the same thing with Dracula. Like, a lot of people say, who's Dracula to you? And to me, it's Bela Lugosi, the original Dracula. When I close my eyes and think of Dracula, I see the original look of Dracula. And this is the same with Frankenstein.
Yeah,
that
fair
iconic
enough.
Look. A funny story about Boris Karloff, though, is when this movie came out, he was considered such an anonymous actor by Universal Studios that he was not invited to the premiere of Frankenstein.
Serious?
Yeah.
The key part of the whole movie, and he's not invited to the premiere.
Yeah.
That's fucking brutal.
Mm. Oh, no. How fucking brutal is that?
Shitty, I say.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're, like, talking it up to all your friends and stuff, what you've just done. And they don't even get invited to the premiere. They'd be like, you're full of shit, Boris.
Fucking Boris is lying
Fucking
again.
Boris the bullshitter.
But how he got the acting job, was actually kind of how he got the role of the monster, was actually a funny story as well. He was sitting down having his lunch. And as he says, he was dolled up in his makeup, like a good makeup job. Put on his best suit, and he felt he was looking rather schmick that day.
Yeah.
And this is what he said in interviews. And up comes the director, James Whale, who we will talk about in just a second, and says, I really like the look of your face. Would you be interested in the role of a monster? So...
How's that for tearing you down?
Yeah, so Boris felt a bit upset about that, but read the script, loved it, and... Well, lucky for us, he accepted.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, there, of course, there's more cast in this movie, but I'm not going to go into it because... But we are going to go into the crew because this actually is a interesting crew.
Okay.
Crew members. Well, I've got two here that I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
One is the director, James Whale. Now, there's an interesting movie, and I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard all about it. Called Monsters, Gods and Monsters, which is basically about the life of James Whale. He's the director of Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, The Invisible Man, The Old Dark House, along with a lot of other stuff. But he was known, this movie is what he was known for,
okay.
Frankenstein. And to me, Invisible Man, just because I love The Invisible Man.
Well, who doesn't? He looked fantastic.
<That's okay. laughs> Now, back in 1931, being gay wasn't very popular.
What? The start of that sentence sounded really fucking weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Either that or my ears are fucked. But it sounded, instead of saying back in 19, it sounded like you just went, Birkenfurton. What the fuck?
I'm getting the spastic.
Birkenfurton.
Let me start again. Back in 1931. Is that better?
That was fantastic.
Your fucking mate. Ears.
Back in 1931. New tune.
It sound like that, you jerk.
I'm imagining the chef from the Muppets.
I hate you.
Now we just need some singing vegetables on the show.
We don't want to be the chef.
Do you want to be a veggie?
Yeah,
I'll you ride do a fucking good job. Push you on a bike and snap you out of it.
We're never going to live that down, are we?
Nah. You're going to take you to a busy road and do it.
What, push me on a bike?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Why do you want to kill me?
I don't, I just want to see what happens.
And if I die, oh, I'm going to be sad. Oh, well.
Then it'll be the opposite of what I said earlier. I'll just have to name the podcast Dummies. There'll be no horror aspect anymore.
You might become the teacher.
Whoa.
Tell people about
nine
movies.
Yeah, that's right.
After nine episodes, it's like, okay, I'm
going to keep
anymore.
All our notes that we've got. I'm just going to read yours and give mine to someone else.
All right, we're getting back on track. James Whale was gay.
That was the shittest leading notes.
No, but seriously. Okay. Seriously, he liked the dick.
Okay, fair enough. He likes some people's monsters.
Including his life partner, David Lewis, who... actually, sorry, before I say that, James Whale actually was found dead, drowned in his pool.
Yeah.
And it wasn't released until 1987, the year of my birth, that his life partner, David Lewis, who found him, didn't disclose the suicide note until he was on his deathbed.
Really?
Yep. So, right. It was a mystery until 1987 of how James Whale died.
Is that because he just didn't want people to know that he'd killed himself?
I think so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, pretty brutal.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Poor James Whale.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sure someone, like some big monster thing, didn't just throw him in his pool?
He died from his own creation. Actually, it wasn't his creation, but you know what I mean. All right, and then another person I want to talk about is Jack Pierce. Have you heard of the name Jack Pierce?
Negative.
Well, you should have.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint you, sir.
It's okay. Just listen and learn.
Okay.
You know what's funny? You're actually being quizzed next week.
What?
Yep.
Fuck.
We're up to episode 10. You need a quiz.
Uh-oh. What happens if I fail?
Well,
do we just have to watch the same movies again?
Yeah. That means Halloween 3.
Fucking, I am passing. I'll buy the answers.
You'll buy the answers.
Yep.
All right. Jack Pierce, who did the iconic makeup of the Frankenstein. I keep saying Frankenstein. This is all Darian's fault from the pattern room. He pronounces it Frankenstein, and now I found it funny, and it's in my head now. So fuck you, Darian. I'm sorry, Darian. I love you, baby.
It's because that was a bit rough.
Fuck, I shouldn't say that. He's the boss. He's going to kick us off the network.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
Now we got no show. I'm sorry, Darian. Even though I didn't do it. And you lied to me about Halloween 3, but...
He did not.
He did.
No. How?
He said it was good.
Oh.
Just because you... All right, moving on.
You have fresh baby eyes. All right, so Jack Pierce, who did the makeup, the iconic makeup of Frankenstein... Also did the makeup of House of Dracula, House of Frankenstein, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, Phantom of the Opera from 1943, The Wolfman, Bride of Frankenstein, The Invisible Man, The Mummy, Dracula. It just goes on and on the list. He's incredible.
Do you need a minute alone? That was pretty intense.
But the monster does not physically resemble the character in the book. And the funny thing about the makeup, Jack Pierce's makeup, is it's under copyright by Universal until 2026.
Yeah, right.
So no other studio can use that look of Frankenstein. If they want to use Frankenstein, they have to make him look
change
different.
Change it and... Yeah. Well, I suppose that's fair enough. I mean, that is like the look you think of when you think of Frankenstein, with like the big forehead and the bolt in the neck.
Yeah, exactly.
All that sort of stuff. Like, that is what... Yeah, what you associate with it, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
2026.
I know, right? I wonder when it went under copyright, though. I never actually searched that.
I was wondering how long that would have been, like, from when they actually did it.
It's say 100 years, but no, this...
No, because if it was in 30...
Yeah, I know.
31, when you said...
Maybe 80
years. You got 95 years there. But I don't know if they copyrighted it straight away or not.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. But, no, Jack Pierce's makeup... Like, if we didn't have Jack Pierce, we wouldn't have had iconic makeup artists like Rick Baker, Stan Winston, all those makeup effects artists. So it's because of him and his talent that we have been given the beauty of films like American Werewolf in London.
Nice.
And this is coming straight from Rick Baker's mouth.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I did notice that the makeup on him was ridiculously good.
Yeah.
Like, given the time, it holds up compared to some of the stuff that gets done today.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was done in 1931. Like, that's crazy.
It's funny to think that this movie's near 100 years old.
Yeah, that is
given nuts, like 15 years, but still near.
That is nuts.
Yeah. And we're watching it to this day.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. All right. So lay it on me. Go in with your... first, before we talk about that, do you have any dislikes of the film? Is there something that you didn't feel was right? Could have been done better?
I don't know, to be honest. The only thing that I really noticed that sort of, you know, was lacking, but again, would be a product of the era, is the complete lack of soundtrack, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know? It starts, and then it has the big music, you know, the dramatic horns and the woodwind and all that going on, you know, when it's doing the intro to the movie.
Yeah.
And then it's just silence again. As far as, score goes, it's silence until the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I found very odd. Well, I wasn't expecting it. I know it was harder back then and such, so I wasn't expecting heaps of in-betweens, but I thought maybe it's just some of the key points.
Yeah.
You know, like when the monster's taking his first steps, or, you know, as he's getting raised up to the roof and the lightning and thunder's going, there might be some of that big dramatic music playing.
Yeah.
You know, while that was happening.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that sort of threw me off a bit, because I find that can completely set the mood and make or break a scene.
Yeah. So. Well, look at Halloween.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is, this is coming off the back of the silent film era. So back in that day, there was no such thing as scores through the movie.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
That's why. It wasn't until there was, I don't know when until, but in Bride of Frankenstein, there is a semi-score through the movie. But in this era, there was no such thing. It just wasn't heard of.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what I mean, product of the era, but...
Yeah.
You know, because it's something we take for granted, like now. Exactly. It's with everything.
Yeah, these it's something days. We mark upon now.
Yeah, that's right. Like, yeah, you really notice it when it's not there.
And it's funny, can you imagine films like Jaws or Halloween without those?
Yeah, those exactly. Scores? Like Jaws, like that's one of those soundtrack. People who don't even know Jaws know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have been nearly as scary.
No, that's right, because it's not building the suspense. It hasn't got the highs and lows.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't set the mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So without it, it really relies on the acting and the storytelling
to
do it.
Which, lucky for Frankenstein, it did it well.
Correct.
The acting and storyline.
Yeah, that's right. Which I feel is one of the reasons that they keep the story flowing so quickly in movies like that, because, yeah, they can't afford to extend a scene and try and drag it out with suspense and stuff, because there's nothing to really do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Now, before we continue, I don't really have a dislike for this film. There's nothing that I didn't like. I have nitpicks with this film.
Yeah.
And I won't mention them, but I will mention this one. And it's a stupid nitpick, but I always think about it when I watch this film. Going back to where Frankenstein picked up the girl and threw her in the water.
Yeah.
Which still makes me laugh.
So good.
How did the father know that she was murdered?
Yeah, I must admit, I had the same few nitpicks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
And even when he's carrying her into town, those people saw him carrying her. How did they know that she's dead and that she was murdered?
That's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew they were keeping the story going quick, but, like, he was walking in, just assumed she'd been murdered. Like, obviously she couldn't swim, but she plays by the water. Is it not possible that she just fell in and couldn't swim her out?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know why he just automatically assumed she was murdered.
Yeah.
And it's strange that everyone in town, like, it's such a big, happy day and everyone's having this massive party. And as soon as he walks past that, I understand people maybe stopping, maybe, like, even following to find out what was happening. But, like, they've already turned into an angry mob by the time they get to the Baron's house. They're all already yelling and screaming and, like, you know, ready to go. And they don't even know what's happened yet.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole town just turns into an angry mob within, like, 2 seconds with no reason. I was just like, what? That was very quick and very, like, unjustified, so to speak.
Well, that escalated quickly.
It really fucking did, eh? So, whoa, hold your horses.
And saying that, I can't mark it down because it is just a nitpick.
Yeah.
It's just something that I think about. But I can't think of that when this movie is about a reanimated corpse. So I can't really think, or how did they think of that when...
But see, that's the thing. Like, you don't question about the reanimated corpse.
Yeah.
But that, you notice, because everything else sort of, like, flows and happens. And that part just sort of... It was like they couldn't think of a way to actually make it happen. So they were just like, all right, it's just going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, fair enough.
Now, we were saying about the acting before this. And, okay, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I watched this movie for the first time last year.
What?
Yeah, so this movie was never a movie that I watched when I was a child. Unless I don't remember, but I don't think so.
Yeah, fair but, enough.
These Universal Classics are very hard to find in Australia. I had to order the Blu-ray overseas. I got lucky with the DVD that I found.
Yeah.
In a fucking Video Easy store, a video store. But they're not exactly... You can't go to the store and just pick up a copy of 1931's Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's true.
So I never really... So it's not my fault, okay? But when I first saw this, and I remember my... As soon as I saw it, I gave it a 10 out of 10. So there's a spoiler for you. Straight away. And the reason I give it a 10 out of 10... And I give films 10 out of 10 if they can make me feel. If it's a laugh or if it's something like that, it will usually bump up a score for me. This made me feel in very different certain ways. One, it had me sad for the Frankenstein monster.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
You sort of...
You feel sorry for him.
Because, I mean, to start with, you know, he's obedient and just sort of does what he's told. Like, he gets the sunlight the first time and he wants more sunlight.
Yeah.
But he's driven to cruelty because Fritz starts attacking him with torches and whipping him. And, like, he wasn't... It's not like the second he got up off the slab, he started trying to strangle people.
Yeah.
He was you know, it was a blank slate. He was impressionable, but because he got treated that way, that's why he started reacting that way.
Yeah. That's it. And it gets actually even sadder in the sequel, in Bride of Frankenstein.
Really?
Do you want me to tell you what happens?
Sure.
Alright, spoiler for Bride of Frankenstein. If you haven't seen Bride of Frankenstein yet, I advise you to go see it. It is a great film, but I want to tell Ben exactly what happens because it will be a while before I even get around to showing him. So, on this note, I'm going to give you 2 seconds to pause the podcast, go check out Bride of Frankenstein. You have 2 seconds starting now. And we're back. In Bride of Frankenstein... What do you think? So, in Bride of Frankenstein, there is a part where he talks in Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, right.
It's the usual... What you've... seen in satires and stuff like that, the fire bad, things good, stuff like that. Yeah. That's how he talks. All he wants is a friend, and he says this numerous times throughout the movie. He eventually finds a friend who is blind, but then he gets that taken away from him through people finding him and seeing that he is a monster. So his friend's house gets burnt down and he gets driven away from him.
Yeah, okay.
In the ending, and this movie is Bride of Frankenstein, right?
Yep.
The bride's in it for 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, right. This movie it starts off where Frankenstein finishes.
Oh, okay. So, it's like a direct continuation.
Like Halloween and Halloween 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, does that mean he doesn't die in that fire?
No.
No. And he's like the first of the killers. He's the first of the Michael Myers and the Jason and the Freddies, how they don't die, they always keep going back.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frankenstein started it.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
And
that was the other part I felt he's bad for him, when he was up in the like in the windmill and they set it on fire, where he starts screaming and just trying to get away from the fire. I was like, yeah. No! No! Let him live, you monsters!
Yeah.
You are the monster, not he!
But, okay, and this is where I really, really felt Frankenstein. Right at the end in Bride of Frankenstein, they finally create the bride, and she's all in wraps, she looks like a mummy, and then the wraps fall off, and she's there, and actually the actress who plays the bride's fucking hot. Yeah, she nice. Really is. But, and I would fuck her still to this day. I'll dig up that grave.
Whoa.
But...
Bride of Necrophilia. Holy shit.
Oh, I can't believe I just said that.
That was a bit cold of you. Especially when she had sex with you. That'd have her in stitches.
Keep it going. You
delightful, delightful.
Oh, fuck. All right, so... Fuck me. Oh.
You could fill her up till she's bursting at the seams.
I hate you so much. Fuck off with your part.
Never!
Alright, so when the... Fucking hell! When these sheets do come off the bride, Frankenstein's there going, friend, friend, and it's actually really sad. And as soon as...
Come along and smash her.
But then the bride actually looks at Frankenstein and she screams.
Oh. Well, that's brutal.
Yeah. And then he tries again and he keeps just getting... Scooching over closer to her, like, with his hand out to her, and he keeps saying the same thing. Friend? Friend? It's really, really sad.
It reminds me of the first time you and me met.
You screamed. And then... She screams again. He keeps going along with that. And then she hisses at him.
What?
Yeah.
Hisses?
Yeah.
Right.
And after she hisses, he realizes that he's not good for her. He says he's ugly. And then tells Henry Frankenstein to leave. He goes, you live, we die. And then goes to... blow the place up.
Yeah, right.
With Frankenstein, another doctor, and the bride. Uh-huh. So it actually really is. And this goes out to all you women who have ever rejected an ugly person. He may be beautiful in the inside.
Yeah.
Harlot.
And parts of him may have been beautiful at some point. You don't know. Bitch.
All right, so that's basically what happens in Bride of Frankenstein. So sorry if I spoiled anything, but I gave you a 2-second warning. You should have used it.
You did this to yourself.
So, and then, okay, I'm going back to how Frankenstein the monster made me feel. Another thing he made me feel is laughter. And we've already gone about that, how he's made it. And it wasn't just throwing the girl in the water. It was some of his grunts that just made me laugh.
Yeah.
And I won't go into why, because we all know I'm a fucking cunt.
Yep, fair enough. We'll leave that alone.
But the third emotion, and this may shock a few people, and especially you, this movie, in some ways, made me feel very uncomfortable.
Really?
The monster actually, in a way, scared me.
Why is that?
I don't know. I really struggle to answer this question. The way he looked, the way he acted, the acting of Boris Karloff made, like, scared me. And I get scared by the weirdest shit. Not very many horror movies scare me. One that really still does is The Grudge. That still fucks me up.
Yeah, that's got some pretty fucked up shit in it.
I think it's just the noise she makes. But, so, and I watched this again... Frankenstein again, and it didn't scare me this time, but the first time watching it, it did actually creep me out.
Yeah.
So, it's just a compliment to Jack Pierce's makeup.
Yeah, effects. That's true.
So, and I know
it didn't scare you.
No.
Nothing at all. Didn't feel uncomfortable.
No.
I'm just a loser here.
Nah, so nothing wrong with that.
So yeah. That's basically my thoughts on the movie. Have you got anything to add?
No, I mean that was a very good, pretty much on point, really.
Yeah.
There were a few things, as I said, there were some things in it I really liked, especially given the era it was made.
Yeah.
Like the lab set is awesome.
Yeah. Well, that lab set was reused for a lot of movies. Have you seen Young Frankenstein?
No.
Okay, well, that was done in the 70s. I cannot remember exactly what date. The 70s, but they used the exact same set design.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
31 to, I think it was 74. So, that's...
There you go. That's 43 years.
Yeah. That's
saying something.
Yeah.
It was awesome, man. Like, in the way, you know, everything lit up and the bench actually rose up out through the roof and shit. Like, that was impressive.
Mm.
I like that. And, I found myself laughing at a few points in the movie, but not necessarily in parts that were supposed to be funny. Just things that I just found funny.
Like what?
Like when they turn up back up to the castle, and the Baron's with him. He walks up and he just knocks on the door, and he literally waits about 2 seconds before he knocks again, going, "It's as though no one's in here." You knocked 2 seconds ago. Unless you knocked on his face, he probably hasn't answered the door yet. Give him a second. The way that the professor, not that taught Henry how to do a lot of what he does, he was so opposed to the monster to start with. He was just saying, "Kill it, destroy it, destroy it."
Yeah.
And then as soon as he was dead, he couldn't wait to cut the thing apart and give it an autopsy. Like, if you were that opposed to it, wouldn't you have just burnt the motherfucker and been done with it? But nah, he can't wait to do it. I just found that funny. there's that bit where all four of the maids join in on the toast, and they've got the glass of the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And they each just take a sip, put it back on the tray, and walk off. Did you notice the front maid pretty much skulls her whole thing?
Yeah, yeah.
She's smashing it. I was just like, yeah, she knows what's going on. One mouthful, boom. So I was laughing at that. I couldn't help but laugh at how stupid that kid is that got drowned.
Why? Why is she stupid?
It's a big, terrifying-looking monster.
Yeah, but she was a... Yeah, okay, I understand
innocent
that.
Innocent kid, I get the angle they're working, but, if I was a little kid and I saw that, I'd run the other way. Not go up to it with flowers and be like, hello. No!
I get what you're saying. I'd do the exact same thing, truthfully.
Yeah, exactly. And when Henry's talking to Elizabeth... When at their wedding, and the monster's been in her room. Oh no, before the monster's been in her room.
Yeah.
But they know it's in the building.
Yeah.
So he's talking to her, and she's saying, "I'm so worried." And he says something. He's like, "Don't worry, I'll never leave you." And then the second he says it, he closes and locks the door. I'm just like, "What?" "I'll never leave you. Now get the fuck out of here."
That's the part that made me laugh the most at Frankenstein, when he's confronted, when he's right next to Elizabeth, and she screams, she's like, "Ah!" And Frankenstein's like, "Ugh!" That noise he makes.
For a big monster, he is one stealthy motherfucker, eh?
Yeah.
In some crazy places. It's just appears just straight through the window, not a sound made, and is a foot away from her before she notices.
Yeah, yeah.
He's one stealthy motherfucker. Part of him was a ninja.
Yeah. And the funny thing is,
it's the Asian pinky. It was a ninja pinky.
And the funny thing is, Boris Karloff is wearing platform boots, 13-inch platform boots, to raise his height. So
that is impressive.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we wrap it up, there's just a few little trivia points that I would like to mention. One is actually really kind of funny. Now, I didn't get a lot because I forgot. So
okay,
shut up.
Fair enough.
But, okay. I'm just going to sell one, actually. Child actress Marilyn Harris, who is the little girl, obviously, had done several takes of the drowning scene, none of which turned out quite right. Although she was wet and tired, she agreed to do one last take of her scene, and that one is the one that appeared in the finished film. After it was done, director James Whale promised her anything she wanted if she would do so. Now, if you were a I can't remember how old she is, about 13, so let's say she's 13. If you were a 13-year-old girl and the director said, you can have anything you want, what would you pick?
A pony.
Everyone picks a pony.
Made of ice cream.
All right. Guess what she picked.
What? Dry clothes? Swimming lessons?
Wow. All right. She asked for a dozen hard-boiled eggs.
I was right. Say, that kid's stupid.
Which were her favourite snack, and her mum wouldn't let her eat them. Whale gave her 2 dozen.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot of egg.
Yeah, I know, right? Wouldn't you get sick from that many eggs?
Fuck, you'd think so, eh?
I try to go on a boiled egg diet, like some stupid internet thing you saw, and I thought it'd be easy because I like eggs and I don't like diets.
Nah.
I ended up having diarrhea for the next week.
Did you cook them first?
Yeah. Too much egg causes streams of shit to come out of my ass.
Yuck.
This isn't a joke that I'm making up for the show either. This is legit what happens.
I know.
That's when I found out I had bowel cancer.
Whoa. Holy shit.
Alright, well, let's come in with our final scores and our last little talk, our last little reaction of the film. You want to go first?
Alrighty. So, I was going to come in with one score, but a few of the points you sort of made did make me reconsider it and bump it up one notch. So, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
So, I was going to give it a 6, but you are right. You know, it does evoke emotion out of you. You do feel sorry for the monster. You do laugh at points. So,
yeah.
The way it does that is good. And, you know, as I said, given the era it was made, I thought it was done quite well, and the fact that it all happens quite quickly keeps me interested.
Yeah.
I don't find myself bored or sitting there going, come on, hurry up. So
Yeah.
I quite easily sat down and watched it. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Cool. Alright, well me, this is a movie that is iconic, not only to horror but to film itself. It's a movie that if you asked someone walking on the street, if you said to them, close your eyes and picture the word horror, what film comes to mind? I reckon this would be one of the first answers you'd get.
Yeah, true.
For that, because of how beautifully made it was, this is nothing short than of a 10 out of 10. It's an unreal film. Yes, it is outdated, but not as much as many other films that I've seen. A lot of them in the 70s, which are more outdated than this one. So this is a 10 out of 10. It's a must-watch if you are a horror film. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing with your life?
If you are a horror film.
Did I say film? Horror fan.
If you are a horror film, you should watch this. Jump out of your case.
All right, well, that is our little talk and discussion about Frankenstein. Fucking Darian. All right, let's kick it off into our next segment, which is called What's Under the Bed? Yes,
Johnny. What's Under the Bed reviews?
Why do you look scared?
I'm not, I'm excited. I want to know what's under the bed.
Oh, okay, sorry. Have you heard of a director called Victor Salva?
Negative.
Okay. You have heard, I don't even have to ask you this because I know, you've heard of a movie called Jeepers Creepers.
Correct.
Yes.
Jeepers Creepers.
It's the one.
That's the one.
Yeah. Victor Salva is the director of Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the reason I bring up the name Jeepers Creepers is because I want to talk to you and I want to let you know something about this man, Victor Salva.
Okay.
Now, a lot of the people listening right now, most of the horror community, will be rolling their eyes and are probably sick to death about hearing this man. But for the people that haven't heard of his name, this isn't an easy listen. Okay. Victor Salva did a movie back in
1985.
Yeah. In 1980 something called Clown House.
Yep.
Where he sexually abused the lead actor, who was a 12-year-old boy.
That sounds like a shit movie.
Well, I actually haven't seen the movie because I refuse to watch it.
That's fucked.
But, yeah. He admitted to this and served only a year in prison.
What?
Yep. Because of this, and because he is a registered pedophile.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been basically putting their foot down on watching his films. Now, he's the creator of Jeepers Creepers, a film series that I really, really enjoy.
Yep.
I love The Creeper. Back when the first two came out, the second one came out in 2003, no one really knew. It wasn't well known as it is now.
Yeah.
Now, the movie I'm reviewing tonight is Jeepers Creepers 3.
Okay.
Which came out not long ago.
Yeah, I must admit, that was one that sort of piqued my interest, because I haven't seen Jeepers Creepers 2, but the first one scared the shit out of me when I was younger.
Watch Jeepers Creepers 2. I think it's on Netflix. Or Stan.
Yeah, okay, cool.
It's actually pretty good. I enjoy it. Now, and a lot of people will just say straight out, no, I'm not watching Jeepers Creepers, and that's cool. That's what your views, that you don't want to support a convicted pedophile. I don't either, but I am willing to separate the art from the artist. Alright? I have no problem downloading this movie, because I don't want to put money into the pocket of a pedophile.
Yeah, fair call.
The problem I have with this whole situation is, and especially for Jeepers Creepers 3, is the cast and crew who are completely innocent and get given basically nothing because of the actions of the director.
Yeah.
And this goes into what happened earlier this year. When the premiere of Jeepers Creepers 3 came out, it was actually shut down due to protesters.
Really?
Yeah.
Which, well, I could believe that.
Yeah, which, okay, fair enough. Yeah, do that to the director. But for the cast and crew, it's kind of sad. Like,
yeah, it does suck. Like,
yeah.
You know, it sucks that the actions of one man reflects on everyone else, especially people that weren't even associated with the original thing.
And exactly.
Just have nothing to do with it, you know? Yeah. To them, they were just actors making a movie and were proud of what they'd done.
Mm. That's so, it.
That does suck. For them.
Yeah.
For him, fuck him.
Yeah. Well, he can fucking burn in hell for all I care. I have kids, and if anything like that happened, oh, fuck. Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. Show. Let's not go there.
No. Okay, so enough about Victor Salva. I know a lot of people hate him, but fucking everyone does. Who doesn't hate Victor Salva?
Yeah.
Besides the pedophilia angle, the other reason I have a big problem with him is because he owns Jeepers Creepers. And it took him from 2003 to now to actually bring a new installment in. And this was basically because of the whole pedophilia stuff, that no one wanted it. But yeah, the fans of Jeepers Creepers did. So it took, yes, from 2003 to now to make one. I'm shit at maths.
That's 14 years,
thank
Timothy.
You, thank you.
Four score and lots more.
Now, okay, let's quickly talk about this film, since I've probably spoken enough about Victor Salva bullshit. This film, it's not the best, straight up. And the reason is basically because of the budget rights, and I'm guessing because no one wanted to give Victor Salva money. Now, a lot of these effects, they look planned out horrible. It looks like something you can do on your iPhone, basically.
Oh, really?
Yep. In saying that, the story itself isn't half bad, okay? It's enjoyable, it's easy to follow. The other problem I have with it is that there's too many characters, and it switches from basically three different stories, with the creeper inserted in the middle.
Okay.
Do you understand what
I'm
saying?
So it's not necessarily set up like an anthology, it's just...
No. It's the one story, and in the end, these characters, in a way, come together. But, like, there's kids on the run, there's cops trying to chase the creeper, and it just swaps back and forth from these characters, who are all trying to... some of them are trying to get the creeper, some of them are trying to run away from the creeper, some of them are captured by the creeper.
Yeah, right.
The creeper itself does look like it did in the first two films. It looks pretty good. But it's the effects that really, really let it down. The editing as well is okay. It might be the copy that I downloaded, but this was a sci-fi productions film, which never really means any good.
Yeah,
sci-fi do those really shitty honky movies like
don't start.
Of what?
Sci-fi as in like a production company.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I thought you were about to take a shot at the genre. I was like,
No.
Don't start. I'll have you.
Sci-fi Channel. They do films like Mega Piranha and all that fucking gay shit.
That sounds fantastic.
You know, like Sharknado shit.
Yeah.
Not Sharknado, but those quality films.
The B-grade ones. Yeah. That are supposed to be B-grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Fucking King Cobra versus Boa Constrictor, shit like that.
I would watch that.
you can go waste your time. Sharktopus. That was another one. Oh, we're not talking about that gay shit. So this film, so the editing, the one that I edited, it had like ad breaks in the middle of the film, and then it would come and it was edited horribly. Now, I don't know if everyone else's copy was like this, but this was what mine was like. You'd be watching a scene and then it would just stop abruptly and then come back and it would have the sci-fi logo come up as if there was an ad inserted in the middle of this thing.
What?
Yeah.
So did you get like a pre-release copy or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay.
It's not technically out. Oh, fuck, I don't care. Yeah, I downloaded that shit. Sue me. It's all right because it's Victor Salva. All right. Should you go see this movie? If you are a fan of the Jeepers Creepers series, yes. I say see it. What do I give it? I give it about a 5. Pretty because average. It is... Yeah, okay, the effects are horrible. The acting isn't great. The editing is shit, but the story works, and I really, really like the character of the Creeper. The Creeper looks good. Some of the gore is decent. So overall, yeah, it's an average film. If you're a fan of the Jeepers Creepers series, go for it. If you hate Victor Salva, then just shut up about it. I'll keep hearing about Victor Salva, and that's the last time I'm going to fucking talk about Victor Salva unless we do Jeepers Creepers in the future.
Fair enough.
On that note, let's talk about some music, Benjamin.
Let's, Timothy. Make me throw my hands in the air.
Alright, we are back. Alright, it's my picks this week. Benjamin, you can have next week's picks, okay?
Okay, thanks, mate. So tell us this week, what's pumping on your iPod, mate?
Ooh, something good. Alright.
Is it something we mentioned an hour ago?
It is.
Oh, no way.
Now, going back before the Halloween season, the month of October, we were only pumping one song, but me and Ben started to like the flow of having two songs at the end.
That's true. That's twice as many.
Very good. Fuck, you're smart.
See, one of us has to be good at maths.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Quick maths.
Should do maths for dummies. Yeah. But no, we like the way it's going, and we are getting a few requests on songs. But at the same time, we still want to do our songs because we're fucking selfish.
Yeah, that's true.
So we are going to continue doing the two songs. If you don't like that, just skip the songs. It's that easy. Okay,
there's nothing come that on. Happens. Who doesn't like that? The only thing better than one song is two songs.
I know, and we give you good fucking songs.
That's right.
And you can request songs. I told you at the start of the episode, and I'll tell you before we leave.
That's right. That's part of why we're doing this. So we get to play requests, and we get to play something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, as for today, you heard Christopher Paley, our good friend, beat me to the punch and tell me to play Alice Cooper with Feed My Frankenstein. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want to see if you're exactly the same as me. When was the first time you heard Feed My Frankenstein?
You know it was Wayne's World.
Yeah, exactly why I'm asking. And it was because of Wayne's World that I actually had a CD voucher when I was a young little squatter-whacker.
Squatter-whacker, fuck, that was a while ago.
I thought of the worst fucking name. And I went to the CD shop and I wanted to get something. And because I love Feed My Frankenstein songs so much, I saw the Greatest Hits album and spent my little Christmas voucher.
Greatest Hits.
Yeah. Alice Cooper's Greatest Hits.
It sounded like you said greatest tits.
Well, he does have a really nice chest.
Yeah, I know, right? Dreamy.
So, when I cracked that record out of that CD case and shoved it into my CD player, I was expecting to hear the fucking hard, heavy sounds of Alice Cooper with Feed My Frankenstein. But instead, I got Only Women Bleed. And I thought, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Only Women
Bleed. And it wasn't until a little while longer when I started listening to it when I really appreciated the sounds of Alice Cooper.
It's true.
So that's why we're playing Alice Cooper. I've seen him live a few times. He's a fucking unreal stage show if you have not seen him live. Oh, and that's another thing.
If you haven't, you are missing out. You should.
Have you seen you've seen Alice Cooper live? We both have, numerous times.
Yep.
Have you seen him play Feed My Frankenstein?
I have, actually.
You motherfucker.
It was sick.
So I've seen him play live twice, and both times he didn't play Feed My Frankenstein. Then you went to the night after one of my shows.
Yep.
Because he played two nights.
Yep.
And he did fucking play Feed My Frankenstein on that one. Motherfucker.
It was sick. That's
the main song I wanted to hear.
Sucker!
All right. The next song is a pick from me. Now, I'm not one that searches for music all the time, because I have my few favorite artists. When they bring out albums, that's what I'll grab straight away, and I'm very hesitant to find new songs. It's a bad habit. I'm trying to get out of it.
Change frightens you.
Huh?
Change frightens you.
Yeah, that's actually true. Now, these bands consist of Insane Clown Posse, as you know, Metallica, Slipknot, and basically anything with Corey Taylor, Mushroomhead. Another artist that I fucking love is, just like Insane Clown Posse, very controversial. A lot of people like him, a lot of people don't like him, but for me, I fucking dig him, and I'm going to play him because it's my show, not your show, Todd or Bailey. His name is Kid Rock. And the reason I'm playing him tonight is because he brought out a new album this week, and that's what's fucking pumping on my iPod.
Yeah, nice. Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
The name of the album is Sweet Southern Sugar, and if that doesn't grab your attention straight away, well, you're just a boring cunt. This, and the funny thing about this album is I haven't listened to it a lot yet because it only came out late last week. There was three songs straight away that hooked me, and I was picking between what three songs I was going to play. The song I'm going to play for you tonight is off that album, and it's basically the theme song to this podcast. The song is called Greatest Show on Earth. Which isn't true. Powder Room is better than us.
Hey, yeah? Don't be like that.
Well, they're our bosses.
Yeah, fine.
Now, okay. There's probably some of you right now rolling your eyes going, ugh, Kid Rock. All right, shut up. Get the political stuff out of your mind, okay? This guy can hop from genre to genre. He does rap, he does metal, he does country, he does soul, anything you want. And to me, that is the makings of a great artist.
He's like a musical chameleon, damn it.
Exactly. Is that from anything? That sounded good.
No.
Okay. Now, of course, I was heavily into his earlier stuff because it was the more metal, like Bewitta Butter and all that stuff. He has gone into the more country, smooth, clean side, but I still really, really like it. Now, this song I'm playing for you today isn't as heavy as his earlier stuff, but it does have a good fucking rock and roll feel to it. And I feel like you're gonna dig it. It's a song where you can sit down, have a Jack and Coke, sit back, reflect on your shit life, and just crank the CD up and enjoy fucking good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, before we end this show, Benjamin and I have a little bit of an announcement to make. I have a little bit of a talking to do to you.
Okay, what did I do?
Nothing. You've been doing very well.
Okay, good. Thank you.
As I said before, next episode, I'm going to give you a quiz.
Okay.
Because it's episode 10, and
now I'm frightened.
Don't be frightened. It's going to be easy, all right?
Okay.
I just want to see how you're progressing in the art of horror.
Okay.
Another thing I want to mention is how we pick shows.
Yeah.
How we pick movies for our next show. Usually I've just been picking them out of my ass and telling you what we're going to do, or I'm letting you choose between a couple.
didn't realize you picked them out of your ass. I touched those movies. It's fucking gross.
From now on, that's not going to happen. No. From now on, I'm giving the power to the listeners on the what movie.
Power to the people!
Exactly.
You!
So, the how we're going to do this is next episode. Now, if you have, if you've realized this, on the Horror for Dummies Facebook page, I added a little poll between two movies.
Train to Busan is kicking ass.
It is.
Which I'm excited about because I really want to watch that.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing next week because of the people.
Thank you, people.
Now, each episode, I'm going to give you two options, okay? And I will post a poll after the show has been aired.
Cool.
So, for this week, I posted the poll earlier this week.
Yep.
And the results are in. They're just not in front of me right now. Give me one Let's fucking second. Have a look second. At some
percentages.
Give me 1 second. Ah, oh, shit. Not there. Okay, so the percentage came back and the results are in. With 17 votes all up. And we thank you to everyone who voted.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Between Train to Busan from 2016 and Your Next from 2011, because I wanted to give you something new. You dealt with something from almost 100 years ago. I'm going to give you something new.
Yeah, nice.
We had the winner. 6 votes for Your Next, 11 votes for Train to Busan.
You!
65% Train to Busan, 35% Your Next. We have, for next week, Train to Busan.
Woo! Yes. All aboard!
Now, at the start of this week, after this episode airs, you'll see another poll between the two movies that I'll be picking for the following week. I haven't actually decided. I know what one is going to be. I feel like we should have... Now, I'm not going to show you... Every movie is not going to be good. I feel like we have to have a bad movie.
Okay.
Not like it's going to bore you, but it's going to make you... Like, it's going to be laughable. If that makes sense, yeah?
I understand.
Okay. All right, well, check the Horror for Dummies Facebook page. Once again, just search up Horror for Dummies on Facebook. You'll find it there. Email us at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com. Oh, and we have a Twitter now.
We got a Twitter.
I still don't know how to use it.
You don't know how to tweet?
Not really. I know how to tweet, but... Yeah, I don't really know how to follow people and stuff like that.
Okay, fair enough.
So try not to use that.
Yeah, we have it, but don't pay attention to it. Don't follow us or anything, because we don't know what the fuck's happening.
I'm working.
But it's there.
I'm trying to figure it out. So more slowly, I'll hopefully be there. I hope. I'm so shit. All right, well, until next time. Anything you want to add?
No.
Okay. Well, coming in with the fresh songs of the night is Feed My Frankenstein by Alice Cooper and Mr. Kid Rock with The Greatest Show on Earth. I've been Tim.
I have been Ben.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, I have.
Till next time, we are hitting it off next week with Train to Busan. Check that shit on Netflix. Catch you next time.
See you later.
Hey, wait a minute. What are we doing?
Yeah, we got backstage passes for Alice Cooper. Feed